Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is one which is well known in the Christian circles. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is a story of a European king who wanted to go out and visit his people. So he would put on peasant clothes or merchant clothes and go out into the town and see what the people were saying and doing. His advisors were rather upset with that, but they were concerned about his safety. And they said, "Why in the world are you doing this?" And he said, "I think I can rule my people better if I know what they are doing and what they are like." And in John 3:16, it sounds something similar. But God says, "I'm going to send my Son into the world to see what the people of the world are like, and so that he can take their place." And he sent Jesus, his Son. And what a name Jesus is. Jesus, as was mentioned earlier, Jesus is a Greek name, translated back into Hebrew, and it comes out Joshua. Joshua means God saves. The J in Joshua in Hebrew is the first letter of the sacred name of God, a name which the Jewish people never pronounced. You see, when my mother said, "Douglas, come here." Okay, I came. "Douglas Riley, come here." Okay, there was a little more emphasis on that, so I came. "Douglas Edwin Riley, come here." Then you appeared front and center with eyes focused on your mother, and whatever she wanted to know or say or did, you listened with both ears and perhaps a little bit of trembling. When you know someone and you know their name, there is a relationship there, and you can control that relationship a little bit. God cannot be controlled. God is God, and he is over us. So the Jewish people, because they knew that God could not be controlled, did not say his name. As a matter of fact, in a lot of Bibles, when you see the holy, sacred four letters for God's name used in the English translation, they use the word Lord in capital letters. And this God that you cannot control is the one who saves. That's what the S-H-U-A in Joshua means. God save. This means Savior. So this God that cannot be controlled is going to save you. And that's amazing, that a God that cannot be controlled is going to save you, not put you to work, not going to kill you, not to destroy you, not to put you into slavery or fear. He's going to save you. And that's why Jesus came. That's why God sent his Son into the world. God gave his one and only Son. It says God so loved the world. That word "so" can be translated a couple of ways. A lot of times when your little children are asked, "How much do I love you?" they will extend their hands and say, "I love you this much," which is nice. But the word "so" can also be translated as to mean in this manner or in this way. So when we look at John 3:16, we can say that God loved the world in this way, that he sent his one and only Son. This is how he loved us. This is how he showed his love for human beings, for all of us, by sending his Son in that way. And it's a matter, not a matter of degree, it's that means that's how he loved us. In order to understand a little more about God, how he loved us, let's go back to John 3:14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That goes back to the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 21. It seems as though that the people of Israel had been traveling around, and they had the same food every day. They didn't have much water. And they were told they're going to some place, but they haven't arrived there yet. And so they're kind of grumbling and upset. And they said, "Moses, what in the world are we going to do? We're sick and tired of this food. What can you do?" And God sent a plague on the people of Israel because they did not trust him or trust Moses. And Moses prayed to the Lord to help the people. And the people, of course, when they, a lot of people were bitten by the people were bitten by these snakes and they died because of this plague. And so when they prayed to Moses and he said, Moses, pray for us. And Moses prayed for the people. They were repenting. Moses told the Lord, and the Lord says, tell you what to do, Moses. You take a rod and put a snake on it, a bronze snake on it, and if people get bitten by a snake, all they have to do is look at that bronze snake and they will live. And that's what happened. And as an aside, to this very day, if you ever go to a doctor, you will see a symbol on his door or maybe on somewhere in his office, a symbol of a rod with a bronze snake on it. That symbol has become the symbol of physicians throughout the world. And what happened is that people were saved. And so as Moses told, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What that means is that Jesus had to be lifted up, and he was lifted up on a cross. He was lifted up on a cross, and he died for us. He lifted up on a cross, and when we look up to him, then we can see that he is there with his love. We live in a world in which we can identify very easily with the people of Numbers. They were complaining. We've been here so long. We hate this food. Wouldn't we accept some good food? We live in a world where there's a lot of confusion. Where are the masks that we need? Where are the machines that we can use to get our lungs taken care of? We need these machines. We need these masks. And our nurses and our doctors are running low and going to run out. And we have enough hospital beds. And when is this thing going to end? I mean, we've been in this thing about two weeks, a little over 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. And when is it going to end? In China, it took two months for them to come through it entirely. It's possible we have another month and a half, or maybe even longer to wait. But we want to know now. We want to know the answers now. Because we live in a society where so much information comes out instantly on our iPads or on our cell phones or on the internet. But we have to wait. Those ventilators are not easily, they are complex machines. It takes time to make them. And companies are working overtime to produce masks so that hospitals and nurses and doctors may have them. But in the meantime, we have to wait. And when we wait, we're not sure, that it brings us into the area of fear. We become afraid. And when you're afraid, you don't know what to do. And so we react emotionally instead of rationally. We react emotionally, and that's why people have tried to hoard toilet paper or paper towels. And it's a thing where we have been told more than once, there is no lack of supplies. It's getting them to the stores so that people can get what they need. But we're afraid. We're afraid because we don't know what's going to take place next. How can I know if I'm going to get the virus or not? How can I tell if I have the virus or not? These are things that bring us into fear. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. You might remember there was a time when Jesus was in a boat with his disciples. They were crossing the Sea of Galilee. And what happened is that a storm came up. And there were four fishermen who were experienced, who knew the boats, they knew the lake, and they were afraid that they were going to drown. Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion. So they woke Jesus up. Lord, save us. And Jesus stood up and told the winds, rebuked them, be still. And there was calm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus tells us not to be afraid. Not to be afraid because he is the Lord of all. He is he who came on this world to deal with our fears, to deal with our doubts, to deal with our sicknesses and our diseases, and to conquer them all on the cross. That's exactly what he did. And so when you and I come to Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We can count on him. He loves us anyway. We have our doubts. We have our fears. We're not in control. And when we're out of control, we don't know what to do, and so they react emotionally instead of rationally. But in spite of all that, Jesus loves us still. He loves us, and he loved us to the nth of the nth degree. He loved us by going to the cross. He loved us, and he loves us today. Whether you're afraid, whether you're sure, whether you're alone, whether you've gone out to the grocery store, or whether you stayed in the house and read books or watched television or done something else, you can be sure of this one thing. Jesus loves you. You are not alone. He will be with you to see you through this situation. He will be with you because he so loved the world that he came, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Another way of looking at John 3:16 is saying, love wins. And so what does that mean for us? It means that we can contract, we can come to him and confess him and take hold of him and know that he will be with us. You can also reach and help out your neighbors. Maybe there's a neighbor who needs something from the store, and you can help them out by doing that for them. You and I can be God's witnesses to his love in this world in which there is so much fear and doubt and uncertainty. We can show people that our God is in control and that he will see us through and that God will be with us today and every day. Watch on, hold on to him, hold on to him, watch for him, and be assured that God's love is there for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.